Welcome to FSHD Straight Talk, the podcast where we dive deep into living with FSHD. I'm your host, Tim Hollenbach, and I'm on the journey with you. Having FSHD, I understand the challenges it brings to patients and their families. We're in this together, and this podcast is a space where we swap stories, share advice, and talk to experts to get the latest news. There's plenty to say about living with FSH muscular dystrophy, so let's get straight to it. Welcome all to another episode of FSHD Straight Talk Podcast. I'm your host, Tim Hollenbach, and thanks for being here again as we have another great guest in store for you sharing their story. Today's guest is going to be Quinn Wilton from a place I can barely pronounce, but it is cold there. Winter a lot. We talk about that. Saskatchewan. I think I finally got it right. And she shares her story of community, family. She talks about her siblings, her brother who also has FSHD. They shared that connection. So many great things that we unpack, and connection is definitely the theme within this. She talks about the work she does as a social worker and how that has even its own adaptions because of FSHD. She talks about the great support of their community as they have done fundraising events after fundraising events all the way from her high school years of a simple ice cream style social fundraiser to evolving with adding a dunk tank and all this fun stuff to huge event that raises $26,000. What? And it's through family and community base in a small community where she lives, and they have it almost annually. And they're already planning the next one. We talk about that too. If you want to be a guest on the show or contact me, fshdradio@fshdsociety.org is the way to do so. Always appreciate your emails that come through. I've gotten a lot more since we've turned this into more about the community and less about some of the more boring topics. I mean, you can have your science. That's great. You can venture those ways. Awesome. And we do talk about that to some degree here. The science is working. It is coming. We all know it. Feel it, have the hope that it's coming. We hope that through FSHD Society and other nonprofit organizations that are helping raise money, like the Chris Carino Foundation and so forth, that we will find this soon. But in the meanwhile, we have stories to tell. We have things to share. We want to talk to other people in the community or share beyond our community these stories of adaption or hope or what they're doing or how they're staying connected and how they're coping. These things will help you get through today into tomorrow and so on. And Quinn Wilton, who joins us today, is definitely one of those people that'll help you do that. Kind of emailed Quinn a little bit back and forth. And one of the things that really drew my attention is she's interested even in, like, maybe she wants to do some more public speaking. And she was kind of hoping that this could help. I hope it does. If you watch this episode, listen to this episode, and you feel inspired by Quinn's story and the way she tells it, just reach out to me through the email. I'll get you guys connected. No questions about it. And you might feel inspired to have her at your next event so that you can share this inspiration even beyond our community, which to me is still one of the big goals for me within this podcast, that it goes beyond just the FSHD community. I think the stories we have as a community can help others in great ways. So the big takeaway, right, is community. That's really what we talk about. Things I really need you to kind of key in. At one point, she kind of talks about at the end, specifically like, FSHD, right? It makes us weaker, but there's things about it that can also make us stronger. And the way she expresses that thought is beautiful. And it's very inspiring. So I think you're really going to enjoy the conversation. Without further ado, let's get on with it. Here's our conversation with Quinn Wilton. So as promised, we have a fantastic guest on this episode. They're all fantastic. And I know Quinn will bring it as well today. This is Quinn Wilton. She is a person that has FSHD. She's going to tell us a little about that, of course, and all the fundraising she does, wants to possibly be a public speaker. I'm excited to hear about that part too, because that's kind of something that's kind of my jam as well. I'd love to do more of that also. Maybe I can convince her to go on tour. Maybe we can do some type of tour together, FSHD talkers. I don't know. Point is, this is our guest today, our featured guest, Quinn. Thanks for being here. Thanks for taking the time to share your story with us today.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
So you are from where? Where are you from?
I originally am from a very little town in southeast Saskatchewan called Langbank.
Langbank. Okay.
Yeah. It's spelled exactly how it sounds.
Okay. And is it
And
like, it
it's
sounds like watery area. Is it like picturesque at all? No, you're ruining it for me,
no,
Quinn.
no, no. It's a small rural farming community, is what I'll
Okay.
say about that. So it's dusty, if
Oh,
anything.
gotcha. Okay.
But yeah, that's where our family is located. My parents still are out that way, and presently I live in the closest city center to there, which is Regina, Saskatchewan.
Okay. And is tell us about Saskatchewan, or man, see, I just totally butchered the name. But tell us a little bit about the community or the area. Like what's a typical like what's your winters like? I'm really curious on honestly on that. I ask that question a lot about weather and things about certain areas that I've never been to because here in Wisconsin it gets awful cold and it's, you know, like right now the clocks change, as you know. And here and now it's dark at like 4:30. I'm like, this is ridiculous. I deal with this every year, 50 years. But what's it like there in this time of year and into winter?
This time of year, we're really lucky right now, actually, Tim, because we don't have snow yet. And I could say any given year, it's not a surprise for us to have snow on Halloween. So the kids are like, got their snowsuit and their costume stretched over the snowsuits, trying to keep warm
Yeah.
trick-or-treating. But
Yeah.
we lucked out this year. It's beautiful right now. But I think we're looking at some rain and stuff like that closer to the end of this week. And the nighttime temps are staying in the negatives now. So it's getting
Oh
cooler.
my God. Already.
Oh
Wow.
yeah, already for sure. And
Man.
our winters, I mean, I hate them for a lot of reasons, but my biggest reason is just because getting around
Yeah.
with the progression of my FSHD in the winter, oh, it makes it very tricky. But yeah, our winters are usually very long, lots of snow or very cold or both.
Yeah.
So I always say if I didn't love and appreciate my family so much, I would have moved out of here like as soon as I was done university to somewhere that didn't have winters, but I can't be that far
You
away
can't be
from
that
them,
far.
unfortunately. Yeah.
Yeah. You got to migrate like back in the day, right? With a covered wagon, you know, and they used to go to the old West. Everyone would move together. You just got to do that. Just like herd everybody in one big fell swoop and go
Honestly, I'm
somewhere
hoping
warmer.
one day I can do the like snow, we call them snowbirds here, like when the senior
Same here.
citizens or the older people here, they go
Yep. They
and
take off.
vacation. Yep. Hopefully one day I'll get to do that, but
Yeah.
retirement looks like a very long ways away right now.
So you live there. It sounds like your whole life, around your family, which you're really connected with. So when did FSHD start to kind of rear its head? Did it something that you knew was coming? Did you have like early signs when you were younger? What's that
Good question.
FSHD story?
So I have an older brother. He is 34 and I'm 27. So there's a little bit of an age difference there. And my parents actually noticed the traits. They didn't know it was FSHD, but they noticed the features, if you will, of
Okay.
FSHD in my brother before myself. That kind of typical, you know, like the crooked smile and kind of the winging of the shoulder blades.
Right.
And then just that progressive weakness with like, say, like putting on a hoodie or participating in sports just started to look a little bit different. And then as I got a little bit older, they noticed that as well. You know, the asymmetrical smile, the straw thing, of course, like using a juice box straw through the corner of the
Oh,
mouth versus the center of the lips,
right.
all of those things. And then when they started seeing it in me, they were kind of like, are they quirky or is there something wrong? You know, right? And from what I don't know if it's fully my memory or a little bit of my memory and the story that my mom tells us about it. It was tricky to get to that point of the
Really?
diagnosis because nobody really knew what was up.
Okay.
I do remember going though, when our genetic testing was like available for us to review. So we got referred to a genetics counselor in Saskatoon, Saskatchewan. So that's a city just like 2 hours from where I am currently.
Okay.
So somewhere in the mix of that, it was like our family doctor and our small town rural family doctor was like, I've got no idea what, I don't know what this is, you know? So it
Yeah.
was kind of back and forth with that. Just 'cause like the smaller medical centers in places like where we lived are, they're just that, right? They're small. So it's kind of
Right, they're not seeing
run
these
of the
things.
mill.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's just too, yeah, it's just too rare in a way, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
So somewhere along in there, we must have got, I should, I guess, know the story a little bit better, but somewhere in there we got connected, had the blood testing, and then received the results that we had this condition, my brother and I.
Okay.
And I
So you got it.
think
Did you get that together then? It sounds like
we got it
that you
together. Yeah.
okay. Okay. Interesting.
Yeah, I remember going to the appointment, and then just because I was so young that I was kind of like, okay, like I guess I have this thing now.
Yeah.
And it makes sense to, some of my experiences, but like, okay, and then just kind of carried on. And then obviously, as I've gotten older and with progression, I feel a little bit different about it now than I did when I was a young kid,
Yeah.
obviously.
So you weren't freaked out at all, like when you were a younger kid, you just kind of thought that just answers some questions about the way you moved or the way you kind of lived your life.
That's a good question, Tim. It was just like, I remember telling like my teachers about it. Like, it must have been somewhere right around when we got the diagnosis, because we had like, they're called parent-teacher interviews. I'm sure that you guys have similar with
Yep,
your kids.
absolutely.
And I had been struggling in gym, particularly, obviously, right? And
Right, makes sense.
at that time, because our school was so small, our gym teacher was also the same lady who taught me English and taught me French and taught me math and all of those things. And anyways,
Yeah.
so I just remember this one particular day in gym where I think we were doing like push-ups or something like that, and I just could not do them. Like, I think I
Right.
got one, like half of one maybe. And I'm like, come on, Quinn, like you can do it, like whatever. And I was like, no, like I really can't. And then so we had that appointment, and then had this parent-teacher interview. And I remember my mom actually talking to my teacher about my grades and how I'm participating. And then she started talking about gym. And then my mom told her about the condition. And my mom was really, she was crying. And I remember that because that was extremely hard for her. And at that time, I was just kind of like, this is just my life. Like I've never been able to do that. And nor do I really feel like doing push-ups particularly anyway.
Sounds
So
horrible, right? Yeah, yeah,
I think
yeah.
I more so remember other people's reactions to it, like my parents or like my aunt, stuff like that, rather than my own feelings towards it, because it was kind of just like, this is my life. But then obviously, as that started bleeding
Interesting.
into a lot more of my life, I was kind of like, oh God, okay, like
Yeah.
this is actually like kind of serious.
Yes, you were very then, conscious of the reactions. I mean, that's part of your memory. It's not something that because you're speaking from the perspective of a viewpoint. You see someone else either giving the news to someone else of the situation or how it's been told to you, like you mentioned. But interesting, like how that kind of affects you and like how you feel about it. And
Oh yeah, for
huh.
sure.
But and I get it, right? I mean, parents, I know when I told my mother and I was 40, and I'm the baby, and she's like, what? And how did I not see it? And I'm like, man, well, that doesn't work that way. It's like you probably just didn't recognize things were what they are because this is how I move and this and that. But to have, so when you were, so that means you were diagnosed pretty young.
I want to say that I was like 9, like
Oh, wow. Yeah.
somewhere in there. I
Okay.
feel like I was really young.
Yeah.
I couldn't tell you like the particular day, like what the weather was like
Right.
out that day, or
But it was
like
elementary
I don't
school. You were
know.
under 12 years old, it sounds like, right? I mean,
Yeah.
yeah.
Yeah. And that's the thing. I was thinking about this before, obviously, meeting with you tonight. I genuinely don't remember telling like my best friend at the time. Like, I don't remember that conversation that I would have had with her at that time to be like, hey, like I learned this
Check this
like
out.
wild thing about myself the
Yeah.
other day. And I
Yeah.
wish that I did. And I feel like maybe I should reach out to her after this to see if she remembers that discussion at all, because
Yeah.
I do not. And I would assume that I would have said something.
Yeah.
But
Yeah.
yeah, it's
Yeah.
strange.
It is. Yeah. And it's like and like when you look back at things or moments or you're like searching for the memory. Right, we're like pulling from different inputs, and for you, yeah, it definitely is like how you saw someone else's reaction, a little bit less of how you told people, or how maybe your friends even would react, because you don't really remember that part. So it wasn't like it's something that might not have been very poignant moment for you. But you're right, I'd be interested to know, yeah, like what your friend would think if they remember it differently, and was it more impactful to them? That's like a question I don't always get to ask. Like, okay, well, I talk to the person that has it, but it's rare I get to go, okay, now how did you feel when you heard it from that person? And what,
Yeah.
how did that make you feel that your friend, your family member has this? But in your perspective, because your brother was diagnosed at the same time, did you have any sense? I mean, you obviously knew he was being diagnosed with the same thing. Okay. So in those moments, like, what were you thinking with him? And then did he say anything to you? Like, what was that interaction right or like between your brother and sister? I mean, it's a unique relationship anyway,
Yeah.
for many, you know, compared to brothers, you know, or, you know, two sisters and so forth. So, but here's that common thread you guys have a little bit.
Yeah, honestly, and that's, I mean, wish that I would have maybe put down some like brainstorming questions before I came on, because those are lovely too. Like, I remember being like, okay, like Luke has this, like it's not just me at least,
Yeah,
right? I
right.
definitely had
Not
that
alone.
feeling.
Yeah.
But like, I don't remember anything in particular about him either, and I want to say because of that, that is how my reaction was as well. Because I was kind of like, you know what,
Interesting.
things seem okay, and whether or not that was truthful or whether or not that was actually his experience, I feel like I thought, you know, he seems fine, so I'm gonna be fine too, or I feel okay to
Yeah.
be fine right now.
Yeah.
But it's definitely, now that we're older, we connect about it a lot more
You.
frequently. It's
Yeah, that was definitely my next kind of path to that question was, what's that relationship now with FSHD and your relationship with each other and so forth?
We're very close, all three of like my sister and my
That's
brother and
great.
I, we're all very close. And yeah, obviously now that FSHD kind of has bled full blown into every corner of our lives, I find that we talk about it more often now, but kind of like a, we'll keep it light usually. And some of the times it's about like, have you ever had like this weird pain like in your back, or like you ever have this, we're trying to
Yeah.
like kind of kind of compare experiences, even though it's kind of interesting that our progression is quite different. So
Okay.
my legs have had significant progression in the last, I would
Okay.
say, like 6 years. Like that's definitely of my most concern is my legs. Like there's no running or anything like that happening over here. I can do stairs, but like it's
Same
pretty
here.
embarrassing and it's pretty unfun.
It's treacherous, right?
Oh yeah, I hate stairs. I don't even know why they're invented. Whereas my brother, his it's the opposite. So his upper arm, so that target part of the upper arms, the bicep muscles, that's where his there's a large amount of progression there for him.
Okay.
And like among other things, obviously we have some other things going on, but those are kind of like
Those are the
the
main pieces right now. Okay.
And like
Interesting.
he experiences foot drop, so he has braces in his shoes, but like his legs are still, I would say, like 70 to 80% better than mine
Oh,
are.
wow.
Like
Okay.
he's good to go, and he's a farmer,
Oh,
so
wow.
he's on
He's,
his feet all
yeah,
day,
that's physical work.
up and
Okay.
down from machinery, all of that kind of
Oh, my
stuff.
gosh. That's incredible. Does he want to be a guest? Maybe I got to get Luke on as well.
If he listens to this, if I tell him about this, which I'm sure that I will, if he
Yes.
listens to this, he's probably gonna give me
Oh,
crap, I think. But
yeah. Yeah.
it is it's very interesting looking at our lives as well, because as we were speaking before, with my line of work, it's predominantly office based. I do go into the community to see my individuals, but whereas him, he's outside and, like I said, up and down and all that kind of stuff on the
Yeah.
farm implements. And him and my dad actually have made a lot of accommodations on farm equipment in the shop, all that kind of stuff. Like
Okay.
they're very handy.
Yeah,
Like
yeah. So they've adapted things.
if you could graduate or be grandfathered into like engineering, they would have made it, because they come up with the craziest ideas.
Yeah.
So that he has, you know, as full participation as he can in the farm, right?
Right.
So that's those are the
Right.
pieces that I try to kind of hone in on, is that like we're adapting the best that we can to still do the things that we need to do day to day kind of thing. So I would say as adults, we definitely connect more about it now than we did when we were kids. Because also too, when I was a kid, I was I was a kid. I was doing what I could do while I was a kid. I was in.
Right. Still trying to be a kid, keep up with the other kids, so
Exactly.
to speak. Yeah. Right.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah.
Do you think you would be as close as you are, either with Luke, the one sibling, or your sister, the other, if you didn't have FSHD in common?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was
The
a good
way,
fast
well,
answer.
it was fast because I truly believe that. And I
Yeah.
often, that's
Yeah.
a really good question because I feel like, and you probably could say the same thing, you always wonder what your life would be like if you didn't have FSHD, right?
Right.
Like, would I
Absolutely.
be in this line of work? Would I be this passionate about these things? Would my character even be like this if I didn't have
Yeah.
FSHD? But one thing I feel like either way our family would have still remained close, but it's so special that because we're close, we can be close about this too, if that makes sense.
It does. Yeah. Well said.
Because
Yeah.
I genuinely don't think that I would have the outlook that I do right now, or even be willing to do something like this with you if I didn't have such a good support system from like my nuclear family, if that
Yes.
makes sense.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, I
Yeah,
mean, I
it's
had to ask because I'm sure someone is listening, and goes, well, that's great that they're bonding. Like, it makes you wonder, like, oh, would that have changed, do you think? Like, it's because I do wander into the logic of sometimes. If it wasn't for FSHD, I wouldn't be having conversations with you, Quinn. I wouldn't be
right.
talking with these interesting people. Or I've always said, like, I don't know if I would have been quite as empathetic or quite as in tune to other people's some things and struggles and like, wait a minute, they probably got something going on here. Like, we really, are you okay? Or, you know what I mean? Because like I have this and I got to carry it all the time. I'm sure someone else has something they have to carry all the time too, some type of burden on their mind or in their body or both. And I think it's helped me develop that tool a little bit sharper. I'm sure maybe it would have still been, but I don't know. So there's like, you have to be grateful for things the best you can because you're kind of stuck with it anyway,
Exactly. And
so.
like, I truly hope that if I didn't have FSHD, that I would still be the empathetic person that I am, because that seems crazy that I wouldn't be, but it really does make you think. And then it really puts you in that predicament, if you will, of wishing you didn't have it, but being thankful for it at the same time.
Yeah,
And I don't know how to explain that to anybody who doesn't have it.
right. And it can be offensive to some that have it, and then I say that and
Right?
they're like, this guy's a jerk. Like, is he crazy? Yeah, I am crazy. I'm sure I'm a jerk sometimes. So you're right on both accounts. It's like, but it's the fact still remains that is a thought. I mean, that to me is a truth within it. That doesn't mean you want it. That's not the point, right?
Exactly.
So the line of work you do. You said your brother's on the farm. You're more desk driven. Talk about empathy, fundraising event. We're definitely going to wander that way as well. But what kind of work do you do that are you interact with a lot of people then?
I would say so, yeah. I by trade I'm a social worker, so I got a degree in social work right out of high school. And then tried very hard to find a job right out of university, which was so scary because I thought, like social workers are everywhere. Everybody needs a social worker in some capacity. And finding a job was really hard.
Oh boy.
But then also finding a job that I was going to be safe at was also hard because there are so many cool job opportunities out there for able-bodied social workers, right? The feet on the ground people. Doing all sorts of stuff that I would love to, be right in there, like with my sleeves rolled up. And I think that was kind of a turning point for me after going to school too. I was like, oh my goodness, like, am I actually going to be able to do social work effectively if I can't be put into these? Because there's the connotation around social work about sometimes it being dangerous or all of that kind of stuff. But and not
Sure.
all of it is dangerous, obviously, but
But you're in vulnerable situations, possibly more than an average job, I would say, emotionally,
Exactly.
physically, and so forth. Right.
Exactly. I was lucky enough though, like my current position, it definitely it has the ability to be unsafe at times, depending on what the situations are, but I also have an extremely understanding like team at work. as much as it can be, right? Obviously, some things you can't change the world for everybody all of the time, but I have been able to be in my role successfully since I started there. And I know that I am able to, like, if I need some sort of accommodation or if something just like really isn't comfy for me, I'm able to let them know. Obviously, that you venture into a little bit of the like human rights and employee rights,
Right,
obviously, right?
right.
But
Yeah, I mean, they have to give you accommodations. We, yeah, right.
yeah,
But it's even
but
like they're
it
kind of looking out
helps.
for you a little bit, right? I mean,
Yes.
I'm gonna kind of put words in your mouth there, but it's like,
Nope, that's what it
to
is.
me, that's kind of what I get to, you know, where I work as a nonprofit, we deal with medical equipment. So let's say someone comes to donate something or
Yeah.
pick something up, it's a power chair or something. And I instinctively, I'm like, well, I'm gonna do what I can to help get this piece of equipment out of this person's vehicle. And like, if it's my boss or if it's other volunteers, because we have a lot of volunteers in this nonprofit, they are fully aware Tim has this disease. And yes, it affects my arms, it affects my legs. They're like, hey, we got that. You know, like almost like scolding me, get out of the way. We got this. And I'm like, hey, let me at least get a wheel. You know what I mean?
Like,
Like,
I could
let
do
me at least
something
try
in here.
something, right? Unless I'm in the way. But you're right. You kind of get like the impression that they're just kind of watching out. And there's nothing wrong with that. I can really appreciate that. I'm, because it's caring, you know, they care about you. So that's good. It's good that you're in that kind of environment.
But yeah, and more to that question too, I would say, because we are kind of comparing my brother's work and my own, it is a lot of it is in the office, which I'm grateful for because I can feel safe in that regard. And like, I'm not, every single day navigating outside, like going to an individual's home or being somewhere in the community. But that does happen though. Those are still things that I do. It's just not every single day, all day, which is helpful. But as I am getting older too, and kind of really looking at what I want my life and my career to look like, which seems odd because I literally just turned 27 last month, and I'm like, okay, where do we want to be? We got to get set up for life, which is a good way to think about it. But
Yeah,
obviously,
but
it's like I want to
you have this
be,
disease, it speeds everything up, you know?
right? It speeds everything up, and the things that I have to consider right now, not a lot of people have to consider at the same point in their life as well. So it's a lot of reflection, I will say, as of late, honestly. Because I am thinking about those things, like a job that I can, grow in, but also stay in safely and not have to leave because I can no longer do it. I feel like that will be a very hard point in my life if and when that comes to make that change. But also
For
realistically,
sure.
I understand that those things have to happen sometimes too.
Right. But the fact that you're already thinking ahead a little bit, like how long can I really do this? And should I make some type of shift? But the tools that you went to school for, the things you have, you might be able to adapt to some different type of role at somewhere else if
Oh,
that's the case, you know, maybe a little easier than, yeah, than like a physical job. But there's a lot of people that have what we have that have had physical work most of their life, and now they're making massive changes. And you hope that we can, it's to me, it's almost like trying to stay ahead of the storm a little bit. You know, like
Yes,
you can
that's
see the
such a good way to
clouds
put
rolling
it.
up, and you're like, okay, I better get the stuff in the house, and I better get the, you know, the lightning's probably gonna hit soon, and I hear the rumble. And I'm
I'm gonna
like,
write that down,
yeah.
okay.
Like for me, I'm always like, I'm a kind of the guy that always tries to stay ahead of that. And trust me, I love watching the storm roll in. Like, that's like what me and my wife kind of do. And even our boys will scold us. Get in, that's like really dangerous out there. We're like, nah, this is so cool watching nature do its thing, you know. But you gotta still stay ahead of it and like know where those danger spots are. So if it's true storm as you're trying to get out of the way of, but you know, in your life, and then you can't always do that, right? I mean, you're gonna see things that will intercede that you weren't expecting or didn't know was coming. That happens to everybody. And with FSHD, because it's such, you know, we're aging faster. You know, that's just how this is. And so you're already thinking probably of what maybe like someone my age is almost thinking. Yeah, I'm 50 and you're like, well, I'm 27. You're probably already thinking like a 50-year-old. Okay, what am I going to be doing in 10 years? You know what I mean? Like, you got to think of it.
Exactly. It's a little bit wild, but it's one of those things that even though you didn't ask for FSHD, it's like these little, and I don't want to call them gifts either, but it's these little things that FSHD gives you that other people, some people just don't have and are never going to experience that way because they don't have to. So it's kind of, I don't know, as we're progressing, I feel like a lot of our like maturity and thought processes and all of those things are also changing as well, given what we have to go through and what we have to consider all of the time.
It's all part of that adaptation mechanism, I think, that we all have and we're masters at, if we believe it or not. I mean, all the way down to like all the little things we do, right? To make it through a day, to get ready for work or to go to bed. It's like all the little adaptions that we do, I think is incredible. And I'll do certain things around my house and I'm like, wait, I do this weird adaptation. And then I start seeing other people in my home. Oh, you don't close the bottom drawer with your knee bumping into your elbow because your arm isn't strong enough to shove it, so you have to assist it. Like, really? I thought, oh, so I'm the one that does that. Like, you just don't know, right? You just do it. Like, this has to be done. This is how I'm going to do it. So it's just these adaptions. Now, with all the things you do, like work and, keeping ahead of things, like we were talking about, but you're also heavily involved in fundraising. Tell us a little bit about that, because obviously FSHD Society is big in fundraising, walkerole events, other things that are so cool and unique that people do. What's kind of the thing you guys are doing in your neck of the woods with fundraising?
It has definitely evolved over the years, funnily enough. And it actually started when I was in high school. So, how do I explain? So I told you earlier that I'm from a little town called Langbank, but I actually didn't go to school there because that school shut down because there wasn't enough kids before I was able to actually attend school there. So my siblings went there for a little bit. It got shut down. I did like play school there. And then we went to another small town called Kennedy. And then we started doing our school there. And then that one got shut down. The high school program got shut down there because it was too small. So then we went to Kipling. And all of these are within like a 10 to 15 radius of the farm, 10 to 15 minute radius. So it's not really that far. Anyhow, so once we got to Kipling and I had the high school program there, because there's obviously more students, and like a full
Yeah, with all the
length
schools downsizing,
space.
right? They're going somewhere.
Exactly. So there was a larger student body there. And we just decided one year to start fundraising. We're like, what are we gonna do? Like, we've got this thing, it impacts, Luke and I. What are we gonna do about it? And it started with an ice cream sundae fundraiser at school.
Ooh, I'm down.
So it was in June, so right like towards the end of the school year, right? People are excited and it's warm out again, so obviously people want ice cream. And we sourced locally, so we have it's called Co-op here, and it's just like a there's co-ops in like every town. It's just a grocer. And so we got a deal on the ice cream, and then we sourced like bulk ice cream dishes, all of that stuff, and the toppings and whatever. Made up our little assembly line, which is it changed every year between like it was always my mom and I, and then one of my grandmas and my auntie and my brother's spouse's mom, and then my friends from high school.
Oh my gosh.
So we would line up there and be scooping ice cream like it was our day job. And we did that one year and it was super successful. And I wish that I had those contributing years written down, like the totals, but that's kind of this
That's where
besides
it
the point a
started.
little bit. So it started with that, and then it actually we did so well, but then we learned the kinks and we're like, we got to take pre-orders. Like, we need to know
Oh my gosh. So it
how
got
many
that high in
vanilla.
demand. Oh
Just
my
to
God.
like save us time. So we need to know how many vanilla with chocolate syrup and sprinkles and how many vanilla with caramel and cookies, that kind of thing. So we did that throughout my high school career. And then towards the end of high school, we did a dunk tank. So,
Oh
like
boy.
somebody sits on a thing and you throw a ball and they
Yeah,
go
those
into
are
the
awesome.
water. So you had to pay a little bit, and we got like the coolest boys in high school to like be the ones that were sitting in the dunk tank, and some of the really popular teachers. That did super
Man,
well.
that's
And
cool.
we did the ice cream as well. So it kind of continued to build. And then our last one in high school was a car bash. So we had this old car and you paid money to just come and like beat the crap out of it, essentially.
These are great ideas.
It was
Very
really
good
cool to
ideas.
see that grow. And then obviously I graduated high school, matured a little bit, and then didn't really have the student body supporting me after that, because we graduate and you move on kind of thing, right? So then we moved into a steak dinner fundraiser, and we did that at our local rink, and that was in Langbank. So Langbank is big enough to have a rink.
Wait, 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 wait. A rink. Like ice rink? Like ice rink.
It used to have like a it had curling lanes in it, and then part of it was, did it
Wow.
have, or
Did
am
you
I
have
thinking
hockey
of,
going on there?
yeah, but
Awesome.
like beyond my days, like when I
Yeah.
started going there, like most of that was shut down, and like there's not ice in it anymore. It doesn't
Oh,
operate that
gotcha.
way anymore.
Okay.
But we hosted a steak dinner, and we had live entertainment of some sort that year, locally sourced. So people paid money to, your ticket was a piece of steak, a potato, a salad, or whatever, and you come and you join in celebrating with us, I guess, like coming together to actually to join us in something that was important to our family. And our community loved it. And they have been supporting us ever since. I don't know
Wow.
what year that would have been. Like this was a
So
while ago now.
probably a couple years out of high school, you kind of evolved it into that, right?
And then we just kept building off of that. So we did, it kept being a supper and like locally sourced entertainment. We had like a country music artist who was like born and raised kind of around there, and he came and provided music entertainment for it once. We had all sorts of people for a few years doing that. And then we added in silent auction. So supper, silent auction, live entertainment of some sort, and then COVID.
Oh,
Yeah.
right.
COVID really, it threw a
Gosh.
wrench into literally everybody's lives, obviously. So of
Yeah,
course,
well, right, but fundraising especially. Yeah.
yeah. So it impacted that obviously as well. I can't remember what year during COVID it was, because again, no concept of time during COVID since then. We did the silent auction, but we ramped it onto online. So we made a Facebook page and did an auction online,
Okay.
and we did well. And I want to say that was in 2021. That was still when COVID was happening, right? Somewhere in there.
Yeah, it would have been, right? Yeah, it would have been when probably we're doing a little more, right?
Yeah,
Yeah.
I don't want to fib, but we did an online auction when we couldn't be face to face with
Yeah.
people, and then we slowly started coming back, and then our events started generating more funds. So I know that in 2021, we raised over $18,000 in the community.
Wow.
And then
That's a lot of money in a small community on one event.
So
That's
then
phenomenal.
after COVID, when we were able to kind of come back with a bang, we were like, you know what? We need to have a party. It's what we need to do, because people need to see each other. We need to like, get
Right.
back to life. And we had a cabaret. I don't know if you guys use
Oh,
that language there, but
yeah. Yep.
okay. So it was
Yeah.
basically it was a bar event. So you came and you bought drink tickets, and there was a DJ and dancing, and
Oh, wow.
I can't remember what we had for like midnight lunch or whatever, but there was food. And that one after COVID in 2023 was $26,000.
Dang.
Yeah.
Wow.
And it was absolutely phenomenal. And it
That's
still
remarkable.
is to see the same people and even that same group getting larger every year of people supporting us. It's just,
So
you
to this
don't.
day, you still have it annually.
Yes, we didn't have it this year because our sister actually just got married last month, so we were a little bit too
What? Couldn't turn that into a
PM.
fundraiser? Come to
We,
the wedding?
yeah, I'm sure honestly we
You
probably could have, but planning that one was
might
enough on
not have
its
liked that
own.
one. Yeah, yeah,
So
yeah.
we took a little bit of a break this year, but we also wanted to come up with some new ideas, because like we can
Sure.
appreciate that people keep coming out, but we want to keep changing it up to keep the interest right.
Yeah. I mean, you went from scooping ice cream to having a huge event party. I mean, that's an evolution in a short order.
It really is. And I genuinely don't think, and like, not to like, city communities are wonderful too, but our small town rural community, I don't think you get that literally anywhere else. It's so beautiful. And every single year we're blown away. I don't know why we remain surprised, but we do, because it's so phenomenal to see that. And like,
That's
we're
humbling,
just,
right? I mean, it's totally humbling. Like these people, you see them probably a lot of them all the time. And then
Exactly.
there they are at this big event to support you and and this disease you guys have and your family. And it's like, yeah, it can probably hit you
It
right where you live, as they say. Wow.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's been a really cool journey with that for sure, and I feel like because of that, it obviously helps towards my outlook on things and how our family sees the disease, and how we deal with it as well, right? It's not only like of course we're fundraising in hopes that like one day it'll benefit us as well too, but like there are so many people with FSHD that we've learned in the last little while. It used to feel like we were the only people on the planet that had it because it was so rare and all of this stuff. And then the more that our circle has grown and the more that I speak to people like you and you have this whole podcast about it, I was blown away. I was like,
Right,
where are all
like,
these people
dang,
hiding?
yeah, for like what I think we've done this like 9 years now,
Yeah.
9, 10 years. It's like I think about all the people, and we've had some repeats, but I mean, most times it's like a brand new guest. Like, that's a lot of
Exactly.
episodes, a lot of people to talk to about it, and the community, yeah, it's just grown and grown. And well, social media, of course, it does have its positives, and that's one of them, where you can get that connection in a lot of groups that have to do with FSHD. And that's kind of where I find some of my guests. Sorry, y'all, I'm kind of stalking on social media. But if you have
Yeah.
something cool, to say on there, I'm like, oh, hey, this gal's got something to say. This is kind of cool. This might be a good person to talk to. But
Yeah.
I think because of that community, it does make you feel like you're not necessarily totally alone. I know there's still people that aren't really out, as they say. You don't really
Yeah.
want to be known, but I think they're still peeking at what's going on in the FSHD community. And like, they might just be a kind of a observer. They might not be super,
Yeah.
known. But like, what was the main, driver, or like, what was like, I'm envisioning like your family's in this room and you're talking about a fundraising event. This is back in like the
Yeah.
first ones, you're doing ice cream and you're in high school, and it's like, what was that energy like when, someone brings up an idea and then boom, 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 and it starts to build? How did that start? Like, where did this concept come from to just do this? Like,
Around that table was always interesting. I feel like a lot of the boys were kind of just like, yep, that sounds great. Yep, that sounds
yeah,
great. Like
yeah.
not
Play
a
it
lot of
safe, guys.
opinions,
Yeah.
but that
Yeah.
makes sense.
Yeah.
So around the table, usually, I have better memory of it, like for our more recent fundraisers, as I've been like a young adult, obviously,
Yeah.
a lot of back and forth all the time. And it's like, well, if we do that, then we're not going to get these people. And well, what about this? Are people going to like that? So it's stressful, honestly, because you
Of
want it to
course.
be good, right?
You're shooting for perfection. You want everybody to be
Exactly.
happy, have fun, raise the most money you
Exactly.
possibly can.
But where it really came from, though, it would have been the walk and roll. So, like, we attended walk and rolls. I couldn't tell you the first one we attended, but we learned about them and then started going to them. And then people were bringing in money, like that's where people brought their donation for the year or whatever. And then my mom is a very like go-getter lady, like in that respect.
Yeah.
So large in part to her, because it wasn't me that's like, we need to do an ice cream fundraiser. It absolutely came from her.
Okay.
And it
So
was
she was
because
the
of,
motor. She was the one that
oh yeah.
started the motor. Okay.
And she still is the
Yeah.
motor.
Yeah.
God bless her. She runs rampant for these events.
Yeah.
Like it's stressful sometimes even watching her planning these events. But came from her, large in part due to the walk and roll, because it was something where we're like, okay, like this is something that we can contribute to. And it was exciting, like
Yeah.
every year, because the way it worked out was the walk and roll used to be at a different time of the year where we would have our fundraiser and then get to go to the walk and roll and then give our contribution then. But then the
Oh,
time of
okay.
the
I
time of
see.
the year changed for the walk and roll. So we're always kind of like at the end of it now rather than at the actual event itself. But that's where it would have started.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting. Interesting. Yeah, because I know that that can be very, when that brainstorming starts and then things evolve, and then that, like you said, it's changed so much. What's the planning for the next one? Has that started? Have you guys already
We
contemplated that?
definitely I definitely was talking with mom and dad. I took a string of vacation days this year for the first time ever in the summer. And we're on the boat one day, and I was like, I hate to say it. I know that we're planning this wedding for our sister Emma, but what are we going to do next year? Like, I'm excited, right? Because like
Yeah.
we were already taking this year off, and we wouldn't ever lose the momentum, but it's just kind of, I want to get excited. I want to start planning this again.
Yeah.
And we do kind of want to contribute something new, obviously. We're thinking of doing some sort of like smoking meats is like really big in our little community for whatever reason. Every dad has a smoker and they cook stuff on there and everybody
Yeah.
loves it. So
Nice.
we were thinking about maybe doing some sort of like ticketed event where we have like X amount of people who have their smoker and they're preparing a certain kind of meat. And your ticket would get you like samples from each place, and then we would provide sides or something like that.
Yeah, I
And
like
then
that
some
idea.
sort of entertainment. These are very loose ideas. Nothing is set in stone yet, but we want to change it up just a little bit again to keep people's interest, and also
Yeah.
just any person who does fundraising knows that you got to keep it interesting to keep your momentum, right?
Oh yeah. Yeah, you don't want it to be the
So
same thing, stale. Even if it has roughly
exactly.
the same theme, you kind of want to mix it up. You could
Yeah.
even, I mean, the idea you have is fantastic. You could even have, dare I say, like those smoker meat guys, whatnot, competing against each other. Who has the best?
That's what we
Right?
were thinking as well too,
Oh, that is what you're
honestly.
thinking.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
I might have to figure out how to get there, just so you know. You have to let me
Yeah.
know if you have a big meat extravaganza.
Yeah.
That's like, food is my jam. So I'm like, oh my goodness. When I would pop in, that's how they used to have me do that virtually for the walk and roll events. And I would
Yeah.
pop in. It's one of the top questions, like, okay,
What are
what
you
are you
eating
guys
today?
eating? Yeah. What do you
Yeah.
guys, show us. So someone had, big pancake breakfast or something. I'm like, oh my
Oh,
gosh,
yeah.
that's awesome. But it's very
Absolutely.
unique to your area and you're tapping into
Yes.
that all the
Okay.
time. And that's what makes it, I think, so successful. You're keeping it about the community. It almost feels like an exclusive, like club, dare I say, right? Like this is your community, this is
Yeah.
your people, and like you pull for each other. It's like that's why it
Yeah.
is so successful. Clearly, you have a lot of community support, a lot of respect. I get, and your mom hopping around does not surprise me. I've never met the woman, granted, but don't mess with my babies, kind of thing, right?
Oh
Like I'm
yeah,
gonna do what I can
absolutely.
to fight this disease. So as a parent, like I could see for sure, like her motivation there. It's like. That's a lot of love. It's a lot of
Oh
love.
yeah,
That's
absolutely.
awesome. That's awesome. So, as you kind of talked about job fundraising, you have a lot of good skills here, especially with people. And clearly, you have no problem talking in front of people or on camera with podcasts and so forth. So, you kind of mentioned in our emailings back and forth that like you had this idea, like, hey, you kind of get jazzed, get a little bit of what I call the juice a little bit, like
Yes.
talking in front of people about your story, like. Where do you think that could go with like public speaking? That definitely piques my interest selfishly as well. I enjoy doing that as well if I
Yeah.
can. But tell me, yeah, like how do you envision it?
It's such a pipe dream, Tim. I don't even know like where it would go or how it would start or even like what the platform would be, because I don't have a sniff about any of that kind of stuff, but like I was saying, I think one of the first times that I got really excited, also to actually backpedal a little bit, we do a little bit of speaking at our fundraiser events. We always, welcome everybody in a little bit of a formal thing, whether it was the cabaret or the sit-down meal. My mom or I would speak usually. And it was always mom. And then one year I was like, you know what? I think I gotta say something to everybody who comes. I think I want to do that this year. And I don't know where it came from because it scared the hell out of me. I was sick. I was nauseous. Like
Oh
it was
my goodness.
scary. But something I was just like, I feel
But
like
you
I need
did
to
it.
say something.
Okay.
So I wrote a speech for that event, and obviously everybody loved it. Even if they didn't, you would never know. And I loved that feeling. Not the clap for me feeling, but people were looking at me and there was a connection, obviously, because it was at home and all of those people know me, but people were listening and
They had a
whether
connection,
they had a
right?
connection or understand really what it's like or they didn't, there was something. And I just really enjoyed that feeling of being able to have power with what you're saying to people who genuinely have no idea what it's like, right? So then my mom and I went to the Change Makers event in Calgary. I think it was 2023, but I can't really remember, to be honest. Again, COVID timeline, all of those things. I feel like it was 2023, somewhere in the fall, like November around then. And it was this beautiful event where there was clinicians there and other
Oh,
individuals
wow.
with muscular dystrophy, and representatives from Muscular Dystrophy Canada, obviously. And it was this 2-day thing, and it was so cool because everybody in that room knew what we were talking about. It didn't matter if they were a patient or an individual, if you will, or a clinician or somebody from MDC. Everybody in that room was there because of muscular dystrophy, and it was the coolest feeling I've ever felt in my life, I'll probably say.
Yeah.
And mom and I had the opportunity to speak there because
Wow.
we were getting an award, and I knew that I wanted to say something there as well.
Yeah.
So practice speech kind of gave people, without boring them, a little bit of what I've done with you today, just kind of our story and what brought us there and all of that kind of stuff. And again, just like looking out, even though it was scary as all hell, and
Yeah.
people looking at me and
Right.
nodding and going, "Oh my God, like that is cool," or "Oh my goodness, like it's so interesting to see this person up there," and just knowing that people understood in
Yeah.
some capacity, like what it was like or what we were speaking about.
Yeah. Yeah, you got the connection, right? The juice, the excitement, the dopamine rush, so to speak, right?
Yeah, it
Yeah.
was really cool, and I felt recharged for a significant amount of time after that. And it wasn't to do anything with my work. It wasn't to do with, anything like that. It was like strictly my personal life and something that most,
Yeah.
like a lot of people don't know about me unless they're like very close to me, obviously, or the community. And it was kind of just like my thing, and it felt very good. So I feel like in regards to the public speaking thing, whether it would be motivational speaking or a support group, which I think would be absolutely fantastic, something in that regard where you're coming together with like-minded individuals so you can have fruitful discussions about something that's so important and so impactful.
You're right. Like I had this vision that, and I try to plug it with through even through this podcast. I try to say, share this with other people that don't even necessarily have this disease, because I think they could benefit from people's stories that are being shared here to help them in whatever their time of their life is. If it's a struggle or they just want to hear just someone's unique life story a little bit, you know, their little bit of a background. I think it's impactful to those even beyond the FSHD community or muscular dystrophy community for that matter. And I think that, yeah, and I think, you know, your instincts are there for it. You know, like you get the connection with people. You clearly know how to gather them. Fundraising is that. You don't get, you're not a person, I'm just kind of guessing here, but you don't seem to be a person that has too many hurdles that like stop them. I mean, you said, hey, I was feeling kind of almost sick or nauseous, but I still did it. I still got up there. You see the greater good. Yeah, right. Like I don't know either. Like I don't know what the audience is for people that want to hear from someone with FSHD. But I don't know if it's necessarily hear someone that has FSHD, but I think they want to hear someone that has adapted their life to make it what it is, right? And I think everyone needs to hear that. Yeah.
And you know what? I can appreciate that too, honestly, because I've found like I've taken a few different opportunities again in my personal life to hone in on those things that I do have. Like I sit on a committee with our city. It's called the Accessibility Advisory Committee. So it's basically for the city of Regina. We have like folks that come in from the community and they're talking about like a new build somewhere in the city that's re like connected with the city, and we troubleshoot like what are the pros and cons of this adaptation that you're making or this renovation that you're doing, what do you need to consider and all of those things. And somebody who knows me through my connection with MDC was like, "Quinn, I think you need to like be on this committee with me. It's cool actually." So I started doing that, and then I had an opportunity, I think last year, to be part of like a training video that was being rolled out to employees again of the city about accessibility, accommodation, and disability in the workplace. And it was like an interview thing where they asked you questions and you spoke openly about being somebody with a disability in the workplace and what you need and what that looks like, and things that you wish people knew about you as a person in their workplace with a disability. So kind of taking in all of those little
Interesting.
opportunities to, I don't know, a foot in the door experience.
Yeah.
I don't know what
Yeah.
it is really, but I enjoy that kind of engagement for whatever reason. And it probably sounds nerdy, I bet, but
Well, then we're nerds of the same because, yeah, I get it. I think that I think it will reveal itself for you, like where that fit is. Before we hit record and others know this, like I had a brother that was really into what I was trying to do, podcasts,
yeah.
etc. He was a social worker, like you are as well. And so I get that kind of personality, you know, that like giver, you know, what can I do for people? They're first, I'll come second. And he was always that advocate too to say, you know, there's got to be something. You should be in front of people, this and this and this. And it is, you know, it is something that's, I think you're tapping into it. You do get that rush, you do get that feeling, but it's for the right reasons, right? You think there might be someone you can reach in that group that you're going to make them think differently. You're going to change them.
That's what that is. I think it's the thinking differently thing, because out of anything with the diagnosis, it makes you think differently about literally everything. And my big, and people who know me are probably sick of hearing it all the time, but I always say anybody can become part of the disability community at any point in their life. And if you look at FSHD, I was diagnosed young. You were diagnosed into your adult life. Some people are diagnosed even after that, somewhere in between. But then also too, like accidents happen, and then all of a sudden you can't use stairs or literally anything, an illness. Anybody at any point in their life can become part of the disability community. So if you're not already thinking about that, I don't understand that, I guess, from a lot of people.
Right, I think it's that indestructible won't happen to me kind of attitude, right?
Yes.
You're
So if you
not,
can,
yeah.
yeah, if you can flip the switch and they're like, oh my God, I never considered how, whatever it might be, the entrance into our workplace or how
Right.
accessible parking works or like any of those things. It's
Using the
just,
bathroom, for God's sake. Like, hello, how hard is that going to be? Right? I mean, come on, these are real problems you have to deal with. If you all of a sudden it's not as easy as it used to be, heck, just age alone might catch up to you and take away small things that you thought you could do easier and now you can't or not at all. Right. And like being more aware of those changes in our life or the possibilities. Yeah. So last question I have for you is really to do with, and I know you've kind of alluded to it throughout a lot of your answers, and but I know that there's someone that listens to the show or watches, you know, it's on YouTube as well, and watches and like is kind of hearing maybe this for the first time. So how do you activate them? What would be your advice to them to be like, okay, maybe you're not out on FSHD quite yet. You're not telling a lot of people, or maybe that's the person that is scared to come forward. If you had that moment, like right now, you're public speaking to them and they're in that crowd and you're like, you, what would you say to that person to kind of encourage them that it's okay?
It's such a loaded question, right?
It
But
is.
I think what I would say is whether or not you're prepared for it and whether or not you're prepared to see the good things about FSHD, because if you can get to that point, there really are some kind of beautiful things that come from it if you're able to make that, if you're able to flip your own switch. And I think that it would be that FSHD can make you stronger than you've ever been in ways that you've never been before. If that makes sense.
That
If we're gonna
does. It does
play
in a
on the
goosebump kind of way. Yeah.
right, like if we're gonna play on the like being strong part of things, and I know some people find that kind of cliche or whatever, but it's true. Because the again, the experiences you're gonna have, the accommodations in just your everyday life, like you were talking about closing that cupboard, like it's gonna make you into a different person, and it's kind of whether or not you're prepared for it. It's gonna happen, but if you can see it in that way of it being a positive thing into who you're, into your character and how you view life and how you welcome others into it, that's what I would say.
That was well done, man. That's some good nuggets there. I don't know if I wrote them all down well enough, fast enough. I'm definitely gonna have to re-listen to that part, but that is great advice for people in many different levels. And I'm pretty sure you've reached someone with those words, so I appreciate it. I appreciate you doing that. Thanks for being here, spending the time, getting on this episode. I hope this opens some door for you. So maybe someone's watching and go, we need to have Quinn at our
That
conference to talk about this. And
would be very cool for
that would
sure,
be
but
awesome. That would be awesome. That would be awesome. So thank you, Quinn. Appreciate
awesome.
it.
Well, thank you so much. It was nice to meet you, and maybe we'll chat again in the future at some point.
Oh, we will. Guarantee it. I will definitely bother you again.
Awesome. I look forward
Take
to it.
care.
Thank you so much.
Yep. So that is Quinn Wilton from Saskatchewan. Why do I have a hard time saying that word, folks? But you know what I'm saying. You understand from where. And I knew it was cold there. I knew it was winter a lot. But the character that Quinn brings to this conversation was unbelievable. So many nuggets. I could not write them down fast enough. Ways that FSHD makes you stronger, where maybe it makes you weaker, but yet you're stronger in other parts of you. That's how it like develops. I'm kind of gathering her thoughts there of like it can make you stronger in other places then. I really believe that there is a future in there for her to speak in front of people. Maybe you can help her. Those that want Quinn to speak at maybe an event coming up, reach out to me. I'll make sure you get connected. FSHD Radio at FSHDSociety.org. I can definitely do that. The fact that they've had such amazing fundraising events is one of my huge takeaways. You're talking from an ice cream type event, which is cool. Dunk Tank, love all that. Very down home. I mean, you can envision it and how much fun that is. Summer day. I mean, it's just awesome. It's fun. Who wouldn't be a part of that? To evolve it into raising $26,000 in a party style event is just fantastic. I'm really looking forward to see if they do turn that into a meat fest on the next one of like smokers and whatnot. Dude, that'd be so much fun to see, be a part of it. Maybe we like eat at the very least, maybe we drop in and do a live from there. I'd love to see what that's about. It felt like I really wanted to be in their community. I mean, that to me is what is missing in the world in general. Is like that small town feeling everywhere. It doesn't matter if you're in a big city, but why can't you still be connected to people? My brother would say you'll find your tribe. That whole community is a tribe, man. They are for each other, for that family, the tight-knit community. It just makes you feel good about people. What a great representation of our community that Quinn gives. So you want to be a guest on the show like Quinn, please email me, fshdradio@fshdsociety.org. Let me know how you thought about this episode. Maybe you want to be on an episode. Maybe there's a topic you want us to cover or talk about that we haven't done yet. I'd love to hear from you about those things. But yeah, this was huge. This conversation is going to be spinning in my head for a while. There's some great things that were talked about here. So I hope you enjoyed the conversation. I'm glad that you sat down with us, took a listen, took a watch, however you find the show. Don't forget to follow it. Tell your friends if it's through your podcast places of Google and Spotify and whatnot, or if it's through YouTube. No matter what, please share it. Share it beyond the community. Let's let people hear more from our people in our community. I think they're inspiring and they can help so many people. So once again, thank you, Quinn Wilson, for being here and being on the show. Thank you all for listening and watching, and we'll see you next time on FSHD Straight Talk Podcast. Take care.